Hi, this is Stephen Reichlin. Happy Memorial Day, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and excited and honored to have on the line with us multi-award-winning New York Times best-selling author of so many books, including The Barbecue Bible, which is just that for barbecue and grilling enthusiasts, five times James Beard Award winner and star of some of our favorite TV programs like Barbecue University, Primal Grill, Project Smoke, and more, with hit shows in French and Italian, Barbecue Hall of Famer, and one of our true food superheroes, the one and only Stephen Reichlin. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane. It's great to speak to you again.
Ah, well, it's great to have you, and especially, you know, on Memorial Day for a lot of people. For us, you know, of course, and for you personally, it's year-round. It's 24-7, 365, the barbecue lifestyle and world. For a certain percentage of people, they feel they need, I don't know, maybe the calendar to tell them that this is the time of year to get out there and doing things. And apropos, you've got the new book out, Brisket Chronicles, and it is, you know, how to barbecue, braise, smoke, and cure the world's most epic cut. Another book, and this is it, right? It's a guidebook for the best ways to enjoy some of those best meats out there, and now brisket.
It's everything you need to know about brisket: brisket outdoors, barbecued and grilled, brisket indoors, braised, boiled, sauteed. The book starts for breakfast with brisket scones and even takes you through to dessert with a brisket chocolate chip cookie.
I know, I saw that in there. But then again, of course, this is, and for the listeners, this is from the man who brought you smoked ice cream. So, you know, nothing is out of the realm of possibility for Stephen Reichlin. And when it comes to cookies, is that where people are? Or is that kind of just showing the diversity of things that you can do with it? Because brisket is one of the tougher, you know, it's great and it is a delicacy. It is kind of like the holy grail on the meat side, but it's a tough meat to cook properly.
Well, it is, and it owes its toughness to the fact that it basically comes from the steer's chest. It corresponds to our pecs. It's a weight-bearing muscle, so it's loaded with tough collagen. But that very toughness makes it incredibly flavorful. And you were right when you say it's the most challenging meat to barbecue. You know, pork shoulder, you can do anything to a pork shoulder, and it will still come out great. But a brisket, you've got to get the temperature right, you've got to get the seasonings right, you've got to get the trim right, the timing, the wrap, the rest. But once you succeed with it, you really can barbecue everything. And I do take you by the hand. I walk you through the 10 steps to brisket nirvana. And it's not, you know, it requires attention and thought, but I mean, it's not impossible.
As you travel, and of course, and for the listeners too, Stephen Reichlin, he's walking the walk. He is actually on the road as we speak in Colorado, heading to educate and kind of lead that next generation of successful cookers, specifically brisket cookers as well. And when it comes down to the questions, I'm sure you get them all, and it's probably all day, every day. First thing that come out is, hey, Stephen, what do you do? Or here's what I'm doing. How can I do it better? Is it the most common thing? Is that one of the reasons that you wrote the book, that so many people are interested and want to know more?
Well, brisket is really enjoying a moment, and it used to be you could only get brisket in Texas and Kansas City. And I think with Aaron Franklin, who runs Franklin Barbecue, probably the best brisket on the planet.
Wow!
With his being named the best regional American restaurant by the James Beard Foundation, that sort of solidified brisket's status as a cult food. And today you can find incredible brisket in Brooklyn and Charleston, South Carolina, and Chicago, Portland, Oregon, Los Angeles. We're really enjoying the brisket moment.
And that's it too, right? It's just one of those trends where as certain different kind of meats or techniques kind of come into, I don't want to say prominence, but where more people are aware of it and trying to do it on their own, brisket has kind of found its moment. Your books have been translated into 17 languages. Is brisket, you mentioned kind of the origins in Texas. We think about barbecue, specifically kind of American style barbecue, as one of the rare indigenous foods that we have. We're a melting pot, but barbecue is it. As you translate around, is brisket becoming popular in all those other countries? Was it already popular, or is it just something different?
Well, it already was popular, because let's not forget that barbecue is only part of the brisket story, and admittedly it takes up a full half of the Brisket Chronicles, you know, because I'm coming from a barbecue point of view. But don't forget that without brisket, we wouldn't have Jewish pastrami.
Yes.
We wouldn't have Irish corned beef. We wouldn't have Cuban vaca frita or Spanish Caribbean ropa vieja. We wouldn't have that wonderful, soulful Vietnamese beef noodle soup, pho. So brisket is really beloved all over the world. That's one reason I call it an epic meat, because it touches so many cultures. It's comfort food in so many cultures.
It's one of the great things that you do, and let the listeners know, we're talking with Stephen Reichlert, author of The Brisket Chronicles, and so many other things, is you kind of build in some of the educational side into what it is that you're doing. It isn't just a cookbook that goes and kind of shares step by step. It certainly does that and helps people kind of create things. But it's really great. I think it's very cool to have that sort of perspective on the on not only the history, but the presence worldwide and what it is we're making.
Well, thank you. You know, for me, in writing this book, and I've been on tour now for 2 weeks and giving talks about the book in different cities, and I have come to realize that this is not only a book about brisket, but it's also, in a sense, an autobiography, because brisket has been part of my life at every phase of my life. I mean, it was probably the first solid food I ate growing up.
Wow.
It was when I went to school in Paris. I ate French bœuf à la mode. When I lived in Germany, I ate beer fleisch. When I moved to Boston to become a restaurant critic, I ate Irish-American corned beef, you know, and so on and so on. And almost every period of my life, there has been a significant brisket involved.
Yeah, and to have some of that recognition where it's the kind of thing that you've been doing, walking that walk since the beginning. And Aaron Franklin, you know, is one of the stars of the barbecue world, certainly now. And as you, and you do a lot of travel on social media, and we'll certainly have links up at WGNradio.com for that as well, so people can keep up with the adventures. But as you're out and about and you run into a lot of people, we talked about the questions you get. What's it like, though, to have, you know, as a television personality, sometimes maybe you lose track of just how many people you're reaching, especially on PBS with some of those very popular shows, is that you run into an Aaron Franklin who's probably grew up with you as an influence. What's that like to have kind of the stars of today look at you as a star of today, but also one of their formative kind of mentors?
Well, it's on one level very gratifying, but I got to tell you, when I meet some of these millennial chefs and who say, "Oh yeah, I used to watch you when I was a kid," it's like, yeah. But you know, I do the work that I think is important. I'm endlessly curious. I'm working on a new book now on grilling vegetables. Shh, I better be quiet about that, at least in Chicago town, which is such a meat-loving town. But I find the field endlessly fascinating. And I find the millennial chefs, you know, man, they're just taking... They're taking what we did, and they're just making it even better.
Oh, let the listeners know, you've won a James Beard Award when it comes to vegetables as well. And so, you know, you have, I think, the street cred to go ahead and do that. And that's one of the things, is if you can enjoy what it is that you're making and maybe eat something a little bit healthy. And I think pushing the envelope and the diversity and the ways that people can experience and enjoy barbecuing is always been, you know, one of the things that you've been a big part of as well. So it's exciting, number one, to have you on. And so we wanted to know, with some of the other people we've been highlighting, what do you have on site? So it's Memorial Day, and a lot of people have those experiences in their backyard. Of course, you travel around the world teaching people and experience it. But for Stephen Reichlert, what are some of your essential, I guess, equipment, right? The accoutrements of your back deck or wherever you do a lot of your grilling at home?
Well, first of all, in terms of utensils and accessories, there are three that are absolutely indispensable. Number one, you need a pair of long-handled spring-loaded tongs. Number two, you need a grill brush or wooden grill scraper to keep your grill grate clean. Number three, you need a pair of long, heavy-duty suede gloves or leather gloves for handling hot coals, hot chimney starters. And I'll add one more. You need a good infant read meat thermometer so that you can check for doneness. And that's especially true when you're cooking a large piece of meat, like a pork shoulder or like our beloved brisket.
So in the actual appliance side, a kettle grill, you've always been associated with that so much on the versatility. But do you have like a Kamado back there? Do you have a smoker? Do you have any of those things that you use?
Well, Dane, I'm on the way down to Barbecue University, my school at the Broadmoor Resort in Colorado Springs. And in a sense, we have a collection of 40 different grills and smokers at Barbecue University on Memorial Day. And we have the most amazing experience coming up. So you know what a Wagyu beef is, right?
Of course.
Okay. Well, we have an A5, which is an incredibly highly rated Wagyu beef brisket from Japan.
What?
Being imported for the first time into the United States. And we have one coming to Barbecue University, which I am going to smoke and serve to our students. This is a brisket that, if you could buy it on the open market, would retail for $2,000 for one brisket.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's going to be a pretty amazing experience.
Oh, we got to hang out with Stephen Reichlin. Well, the ways that you can enjoy it, you can get out there and be a part of Barbecue University. We will definitely have links up for that, and hopefully people can get in on the next class. You can see him on television, all the different incarnations and ways that he is sharing. You can get the book specifically, The Brisket Chronicles, which is now and out, and you can learn and be a better person through flipping through those pages. And you can follow him on social media. So, Stephen, before we let you go, where can people keep up with all your adventures, you know, online and on social?
Well, my website is barbecuebible.com. That's BarbecueBible.com. If you follow me on Facebook, it would be Stephen Reichlin. Twitter and Instagram are S. Reichlin. And, you know, if you go to the website, we have a free weekly newsletter that's called Up in Smoke. And it tells you all about my culinary adventures, all things brisket, barbecue, and beyond.
It's all great stuff. He said here that probably the first meat that he ever ate was brisket. So they're walking the walk on the street cred side. And I know he is on the road. He's not driving the VW microbus like he was with his with his first car, but he is on the road heading off to more barbecue adventures. So, Stephen Reichlin, thanks so much for what you're doing. Enjoy the rest of Memorial Day. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you, Dane, and happy Memorial Day to you, too.